It is Thursday, December the 12th, 2013. I am Steve Growick, the webmaster of www.gerweckgerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. It's something we've been following for a long time and finally got the pleasure to talk to right now. She is the former Peyton Banks in TNA, a knockout there, and then later, she became the Shine champion. She's wrestled with Triple A. She's been with Shimmer. And tonight, it's my very distinct pleasure to welcome the soon-to-be-retiring Rain. How you doing tonight, Rain?
I'm doing amazing. The champ is here. Doing your interview.
Well, I tell you what, I was a little surprised to hear that you're retiring, only because I know you're not long in the tooth in this business, though you've been around for quite a while. Can you talk a little bit about your decision to retire, and is this like the official retirement? Because we've seen, obviously, with other wrestlers, you know, sometimes they retire and they get that itch to come back. Is this really going to be it for you Friday night?
This is it. I would say the only way to get me back in a ring one more time is if you can get Manami Toyota back in the ring one more time. I have always wanted to wrestle her, and you know, she's the reason why I started doing the Japanese Ocean, you know, the Acid Brain. I used to watch her stuff all the time. Dave Prezek used to send me her tapes all the time. Yes, VHS, I'm dating myself.
There you go. I got some of those too, so I can relate.
Yep. Gotta study those tapes. So I think that's the only way to get me back in.
Well, talk about your decision to retire. What was behind it? And what do you think you'll miss most about wrestling?
Well, 13 years of wrestling has taken a toll on my body. And I mean, I'm not like a big girl. I'm a small girl. So, you know, your body can only handle so much. And I've always seemed to have little accidents. I mean, most people don't even know. But because I've actually finished matches with broken bones and I've finished matches with concussions and completely blacked out and no clue, but still done my thing and come back and not had, you know, my opponent, I have a clue that I was knocked out. So I am just a machine and I go regardless of what happens. So my body is going to be very thankful when I do not wrestle anymore. Tomorrow is going to be brutal. So my body is going to be mad at me for about 2 weeks to recover. Now I'd say a week, maybe a week and a half, depends on how bad it is. Hopefully nothing is broken. You find some wood here real quick, knock on it. And the one thing I'm going to miss is all the women in the locker room. I mean, it's just like a family, you know, the guys too. It's just like one big family. And it's just always a great get-together. Every time you get in the locker room, it's like, hey, how's it going? I would say that would be number one. Number two would be the fans, because the fans are always amazing, even though they throw beer cans at me and they throw bottles at me, full beer, pizzas. I mean, I love it. Even though I don't get the cheers, I get the boos, but I like the boos better than the cheers. I'm like, bring it on. It's a cheer to me.
How about the mindset? Because when it's obviously an emotional time. I mean, 13 years is a long time in anybody's life for anything you do. Kind of your emotional state, and what do you think will be going through your mind, say, when you leave the ring and you're back in the locker room? What kind of emotions do you kind of anticipate for tomorrow night?
I mean, most people know me, and I'm not a very emotional person. It takes a lot to make me upset. I don't know. I'll probably just go in and treat it like an everyday, you know, day at work. You know, go in, do my job, and get out, hopefully all in one piece, and then collect my payday and be like, hey, pay me, time to go. Because that's how I've always treated it. It's a job at the end of the day. It's a different job than the average person. It's, you know, I get to dress up like a Barbie doll and spandex and, you know, drag queen makeup and drag queen hair and, you know, look fabulous. And, you know, I get to wrestle for anywhere between 5 to, my match is 45 minutes, and, you know, do my thing and interact with people and be on stage and get all of my anger out. Considered my anger management treatment, and makes me feel a whole lot better at the time.
No, you're going to defend your Shine Championship Friday night on pay-per-view. You're going to defend it against Amazing Kong, formerly Karma in WWE. So I anticipate the plan is for you to retire as the Shine Champion.
Well, of course. I mean, obviously I've beaten it before, so I don't even know why I have to wrestle her. I mean, number one, Daphne is like always in my business for absolutely no reason. She has nothing to do with me. She hasn't had anything to do with me. And then she just randomly sticks her nose in my business because she wants that belt in her group. That's all what it's about. Who wants the belt? And it's not going to happen. I'll retire with that thing. I'll put it on my mantle.
Now, we should mention shinewrestling.com if you want more information about the event and how you can order the shows on pay-per-view. This is actually Shine 15, so I know there's going to be a good number of fans that's listening to this interview that's probably never seen Shine. Can you kind of give us an overview of the product and kind of what you see for the future of that company?
Oh, well, if they haven't seen Shine, then they got some problems. I feel sad for them. They haven't seen quality female wrestling. Of course, maybe in the chance quality. If you haven't watched it, you're a loser. And if you want to watch it, definitely check out shinewrestling.com. You have everybody from Legends of Legends, and you got Kong, and you got myself, and you got Mercedes Martinez, you got Nikki Rocks, who just had her second-to-last match on the last show there. And you got girls that come in all the time. You got Valkyrie. We win right there. You win just watching Valkyrie. All you have to do is rewind, replay, and then you've got your money's worth. Boom. Watch it.
I want to ask you about, you just mentioned Nikki Rocks. Obviously, she just had her, I guess she had her official retirement last weekend. And, of course, we just seen you together at the Fitness America in Las Vegas. So I know she's been a friend of yours for a long time. Can you kind of describe your thoughts on having a good friend of yours also retire from the ring?
Yeah, I didn't know she was actually going to retire until recently. It was kind of mine was more of a plan thing. I had, after breaking my arm last year, I decided, I was going to be done. So it's been about a year since then, just over a year. And she just, was like, I'm done. I would say, I think Shine 14. Shine 14 was last month. Shine 13, she actually was like, I'm done. Like, she didn't even want to wrestle that night. And she was just like, I'm done emotionally, physically, just done. And I was surprised. And I was like, okay, well, just go out there tonight, do your thing tonight. And then if you still feel like that later, then, it's your decision to make. Nobody else can make that for you. And then she told everybody that she was, Shine 14 was her last match. And then she had one more up in Boston in her hometown. And it came to a surprise to me. But I think some of the girls, I'm not going to mention names, but some of the girls that came up with me are going out right now, too. So I think it's like our body has hit about 12, 13 years. And then it just starts to shut down a little bit. I mean, some people, don't go as hard, but I would say, like, Nikki Rocks, myself, and a lot of other people that came up during my time just have injuries and went really hard. I mean, Mercedes has two, blown shoulders, but she's still gone. So, Mickey Knuckles, Lacey's done. Mickey Knuckles was still wrestling, but Lacey's done. And Jetta's done, and a bunch of other girls are done, too.
I think it's a really sad period because obviously I followed your career for a long time, even going back to Shimmer. Same thing with Nikki Rocks. Lacey, we actually talked to last year before she went to China, before she moved out of the country and was going to study over in China. So this is kind of a period where we're going to, we've lost Lacey. We're losing you. We're losing Nikki Rocks. We haven't seen Tracy Brooks in a long time. And I'm going to miss you. I miss Nikki. I've talked to her several times. We've interviewed her. So it's just kind of feel like a sad period right now. Because I think back to you in TNA. I think back to, when Nikki was in TNA. And I feel like you guys had so much potential. Like, it's like you just give you guys the ball. Just let you run with it. And they had storylines and ideas for you for a short time. And then they lose it. And they go a different period. So I don't know, just for me, and I guess I know I'm speaking for the wrestling community, really going to miss you, Nikki, Lacey, Tracy. So it is sad, but we're definitely going to, you know, watch you from afar and wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Problem. And I guess as we look back a little bit on your career, I mentioned you were Peyton Banks in TNA and we saw you with Tracy. You know, going back to that period, what was kind of the highlight of your TNA experience? And do you think ultimately, as you look back at that, they really gave you the opportunity to be a star in that company?
They actually let me do a lot. I mean, from the moment that I got there to the moment that I left, I felt like I got to do a lot. I was on, you know, every TV. I was in every angle with Bobby. At the very end, they just started letting me talk, which, you know, Dutch Mantel didn't even know that I wrestled. And then one day he came up to me and was like, "You wrestle?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like,
"You
oh.
heard?"
He's like, "Oh, I just thought you were a manager." I was like, "No, that's actually what I would not like to do, but that's what you guys called me for, so that's what I'll do. I get paid, right?" "Yeah." "Okay." So I was like, "All right, well, I don't really have to bump or do anything." And, you know, they let me do a bunch of stuff with Tracy. They let us have, you know, I would say one of the longer storylines of the girls. They let us wrestle a few times. And then, you know, they cut me off with Tracy and then put me with Charmel instead. And then I had to leave for my internship, and I just didn't sign my contract because they wanted me to wrestle more, which I would have loved, but to me, finishing school is important. So I just didn't sign and walked away and just didn't come back.
Yeah, you were mentioning to me offline that you never had a contract with TNA. As you were saying, they offered you one, but you never signed one.
Yeah, I keep it in my email just to be like, "Yep. If anybody doubts it, I can show it to them." Terry Taylor, the week that they cut me and Bobby off that week, by the time it was that weekend, he had sent me an email with my contract, and I just never signed it. I just went, "Oh, well, I got 3 months of an internship of 300 some odd hours, and I won't be able to show up to TV at all. So I'll go back afterwards, and if they have a spot, then hey, if not, well, it's just not meant to be." So I went back after 3 months, and they had, you know, they had Chantel, they had just so many girls. It was ridiculous. And I just was like, "They have too many." "They have too many. They probably don't even know what to do with half of them right now, and I'm not getting a job right now." So I went to AAA. First, I did Rust Delicious, then I went to AAA.
Looking back at your TNA experience, was there a favorite moment, a favorite match, or maybe a highlight of your TNA experience?
I really liked my matches with Tracy. I think we had really good matches. They were definitely very physical matches, but I think that we had really good matches. I do also recall enjoying the part where I got to hit her with that belt repeatedly over and over and over again. That kind of made my day.
And one of the questions, we're also getting some questions from Twitter. They want to know your thoughts on the management style with TNA, obviously Dixie Carter, and then working with, you already kind of alluded to it, the agent Dutch Mantel at that time.
I never really had to deal with management so much, I guess. I kind of just went in and did my job. I said, "Okay, what do I do?" They told me, and I only had to fight them on one thing, and Dutch was usually really good with me. And he just kind of let me, you know, he just kind of said, "This is the direction, and then just do what you do." So working with Dutch was great. He actually wanted to call me, instead of Peyton Banks, Robin Banks, which I thought was amazing. I was like, "Yes." And then the office was like, "No, we're not calling her Robin Banks." And I was like, no, that's amazing. Dutch was like, "I know, right? That's so gold." And they're like, not having it. So whatever. It would have been amazing.
So did he come up with the name Peyton Banks then? Dutch?
I came up with Peyton, and they came up with Banks, like money in the bank.
Gotcha. I wonder if you do you have much of a chance to watch TNA now and just thoughts on their current product?
I never watch. Oh, they wanted to call me Bonnie Slice initially at TNA. I was like, no.
Bonnie Slice?
Yeah, so like I was like, did they get that out of like a stripper book or something? No. Like, did they take my first name and then just be like Slice? I thought maybe that's that of Kara Slice. You know what I mean? So there's
right.
Kara Slice on the indies. So they kind
Cherry
of just take names.
WWF. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So they just take names of even indie workers and they throw them together, like Madison and Rain. Madison Rain.
Madison Rain.
Talia Madison, Rain.
Very original.
So if Talia and I had a baby, it was Madison Rain. So that's kind of how they come up with their girls' names. And then they need, you know, or maybe they do use a stripper book. I don't know. But I was like, no, I am not Bonnie Slice. That's not happening. They're like, well, come up with the name of the state, and I like it. And they're like, we'll think about it. And then they were like, Brown Banks, yes, no. Keaton Banks, yes. Okay.
So you don't watch TNA now? Just kind of thoughts on
no.
You know, where they're going? No.
Okay. No. Like, I don't know. I think I turned it on a second the other day to watch Cherry Bomb.
Okay, right.
And then, you know, she had like a 3-4 minute match with Gail. And then I turned it off.
I can't say I blame you. That seems to be the trend anymore.
Well, I tried to watch it once, and it gave me a headache, and I was just like, oh, I can't. I don't understand the storyline. I haven't watched it forever. This doesn't make sense to me. It's weird. I'm just turning it off.
Well,
I do,
you're not alone. That's a sense
DVR
I get to
Raw,
talk to.
And I usually just fast-forward it to the people I like and people I know and people I came up with. I'm like, okay, you're referring. Oh, I don't want to watch that. And I'll DVR and fast-forward. And I'll turn it to the girls' match, hoping that it's okay, hoping Natty's on. And then, okay, so where's Brian? Where's Punk? You know, check out the people that I know. Some of it I can't stand, and some of it I'm like, yay, there's Kofi.
One more question about TNA. How did the TNA opportunity come about?
I was at school. So I used to, it was on, the drive to TNA was on my way to school. So I would swing by my scrubs every day or, like, every TV and just, like, you know, make business, stick my face in there, shake, you know, people's hands, talk to people. I'm all business. I'd go there. I'm like, yep, I'm here. You know I'm here. Just to let you know, I'm still here. And then I went to school one day, and they had brought a girl, and I'm not going to mention names. They had brought a girl in, and they had her for my spot. And then I guess she looked really young, and Bobby was like, no, that looks like a child. No. Where's that Bonnie Raine girl? Where's Bonnie Raine? Find her. And then so Tracy actually called me while I was at school. I answered the phone at school. I hung up. And I went to my teacher, and I said, that sounds really weird. I know this is really weird, but can I please leave? He goes, why? I want to go wrestle. He was like, what? I was like, yeah, for TNA Spike TV. And he goes, yeah? And I was like, awesome. Thank you. And then I left. And then I
during
was
your,
on TV.
During your time with TNA, obviously TNA is a national product. When you're in public, do people recognize you at that time? You say, oh, yeah, I remember seeing you on TNA. Or
at that time, in, like, airports a lot, I would say it mostly happens, like, in airports because you're flying out and then people notice a little bit more. People noticed more when I was blonder or when I was in the Orlando area. I would say more in the Orlando area and then at the airport.
Have you heard from Tracy Brooks lately?
No.
No, don't keep in contact with her. Okay.
No. I haven't talked to her since we are feud in TNA.
Okay, I was just curious. Did you ever have an opportunity with WWE? Did you ever call them? They call you? Was anything ever?
I actually trained there
a possibility
for a week.
Okay.
I actually trained there for a week, and I trained for about a week, and then I had just kind of a throw together a little match. Steve and Tom were like, hey, let's pretend you have a tryout right now. You and Addy go. So we just went for a little bit. We just went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then they were like, come back tomorrow, and you can come back tomorrow. And I went, okay. So I came back in a cute little workout outfit. And when you train there, you have to be done up, which I think is silly. Personally, you're going to get disgustingly sweaty. And with all that makeup all over your face, it doesn't make sense to me. But I know that's what they like. So I threw my hair up, I threw my makeup on, and I had a cute little workout outfit, and I went to the training facility. And then all of a sudden, Steve has a camera and goes, we're filming a match. He goes, I know it's not tryout time, but we're filming a match. And I went, okay. I don't have my gear. And he goes, you look great. And I was like, okay, I can go home and get my gear. And he goes, no, you look great. Just go. I want to film this. So then we filmed about a 7-minute match, five to 7 minutes. We just went, and then we were done, and he was like, that was great. And I would say, this was before people let me talk a lot on the mic, and he was like, how great are you at promos? Like, not great. Okay. And he's like, we'll just skip that part. And I said, okay. And then I would say less than a week later, one of the higher guys calls me, not Johnny Ace. He's the one that let me train there. Because I called him and he was like, yeah, you can come and train. That's fine. One of the other guys comes in and says, is like, you need to do your promo. I got your match. It was great. Blah, 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 blah. So I came in completely done up in a dress, looking, head to toe, looking great to do my promo. So I went in the class with Dusty and everybody else, and they were doing promo classes and they were filming it all. And on the third try, I got a perfect promo. Dusty was like, that was great, because he tweaked something on the second one. He was like, that was great, that's awesome, we're sending that in. I said, okay, thank you. And one of the guys in the office asked me in a different way if I wanted to hang out afterwards, and I thought that was inappropriate, and so I chose not to go hang out, and I made up a lie that I was going back to school, and that did not work. So I left, and I said, thanks for having me, text them saying, thank you so much for having me, I really appreciate it, I had such a great time. And before this person would respond to every text, respond to every email, respond to every phone call, no problem. After he said, no problem, I was calling and checking on my promo, checking on my match, seeing what the, seeing what was going on with it. And, hey, did you hear anything back? Nothing. No response to the text message, no response to phone calls, and no response to the emails. Anymore. I said, you know what? This isn't the place for me. That's okay.
Just for not hanging out.
Yeah, we'll say hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. That's just the kind of business it is. I mean, not everybody has to do that. Some people are lucky that, they have somebody that has their back. But at that moment, I didn't have a Fit Finley that had my back. Or I didn't have a Steven Regal that had my back, If you have somebody that has your back and you're female, it's a lot better. But it was just me.
Now, after the TNA experience, you went to AAA in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about your experiences there? Because obviously for the American wrestling fans, not a lot of people watch AAA or watch the international markets, don't watch Japan. So talk about your experience there in AAA and how ultimately did that not prolonging and going further with AAA?
I had an amazing time working for AAA. I did not necessarily love living in Mexico. Physically, it makes you ill. I actually went there after a shimmer taping once with an infection in my head, not knowing that there was an infection in my head, on the top of my head, because I got hurt at shimmer. And just the pollution and everything makes you sicker. So I developed an awful, 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 like, I would say flu, like a chest flu. So, you know, in those conditions where it's already polluted and it's already dirty, that, you know, if you're sick, it makes it 100 times worse. So, but I still continue to wrestle and I still continue to train because I'm crazy as well. But wrestling there, the crowds are like crowds from the 80s. I loved it. Crowds were huge. There were thousands of people all the time. The TV production was, you know, everybody was on point. You know, everybody, you know, was there, was great to me. The trainers were great. Everybody was great. I had a great time. I got to do a lot. I got to work with the Apache sisters, which was amazing. I worked with Cynthia Moreno. And I got to work with a lot of the other girls on, you know, the house shows. A lady named Tiffany, she was great. And a bunch of other girls. But my favorite person to work with was Sexy Star. We didn't wrestle each other, but we got to tag. And the whole time we tagged was, like, amazing. She was the only person that actually took care of me outside of the, you know, outside of the venue, outside of the show time. She would take me to training. She would take me for food. She took amazing care of me. And I will always love her for that. But the crowds there were amazing. They would just boo you and throw things at you and throw pizza and beer bottles and curse at you and, you know, call you a beach because they couldn't say the right word. They would chase me to the bus and they'd be like, just get in. And I would still be outside talking crap to them. And literally the other wrestlers would be like, you need to get in the bus. They would like push me in because I can't control this mouth no matter where it is. I could be in a third world country and it doesn't matter. I can't control this mouth. It never turns off. But it was just amazing. The matches were great. I had a great time, great experience, and got to train with Gray and Apache, you know, the Apache dad. And he was just amazing to me. He was so good. His little jump in me, it was awesome. He made me do things that I normally would never do.
Did you ever consider AAA is going to be your new home and that you would be there for an extended period?
I didn't think I'd live there for a year. I got to come home briefly here and there. I would say there was even one day I got home at, I would say, like 8 o'clock at night, maybe 6 or 8, something like that. And I was out to dinner, you know, at that time with my boyfriend and all my friends, because I hadn't seen him in about a month. So we all had like a group dinner, you know, planned for when I got home. And then I get a call at the dinner table saying I'm leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, I didn't have a contract, but because I was in the storyline that I was in, they owned me.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, you come now. We need you tomorrow on this house show. We need you tomorrow on this TV. We need you here. Oh, and I also got to work with Teddy Hart for the first time. And he was a character. He's funny. And Jack Evans, I've worked with him in Ring of Honor and stuff before too, but I got to know them more on a personal level, and they're hilarious.
Kind of in general, where do you see the business going from here? You worked for TNA, you were at AAA, you obviously know the landscape of WWE. They're the giant, and TNA is there, and you just mentioned Ring of Honor. You know, we've seen WWE swallow up WCW, ECW. I guess just in general, and you've been in the business for, you said, 13 years, where do you see the business going?
WWE is going to still take over. I mean, nobody has that kind of money to go up against them. They know it. They're very confident, and confidence will get you very far in your company. Plus, they also have lots of money to back it up. They have great superstars. They always, you know, take care of every city at some point. I mean, they make their rounds. They, you know, they do the tours. They, you know, pretty much never cancel. They usually say what they, you know, whatever they say they're going to do. They bring in, you know, if they feel like ratings are dropping, they bring in high profile people. So it boosts ratings. Like, they'll bring Brock Lesnar back, and, you know, they're very smart. I mean, it's more of a TV show in certain aspects. And then they have also extra things like, you know, Total Divas, which is going to bring in more fans, you know, that were never fans before, but they're fans now because they watch Total Divas. You know what I mean? So they're always going to be like, they're always going to be that big company that you're not going to be able to compete with no matter what. Like, unless you have investors from all over to kind of help compete with that, because that money is ridiculous. They're going to keep taking over. And TNA, I haven't watched the product. I don't really know what's going on. I don't really pay attention. But the only thing I've heard is that they're losing money. And money is what keeps you afloat. That's all I can say about that, because I don't really know. AAA is always going to be the WWE of Mexico. And they have lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to go anywhere. CMLL is the only other one that has like a lot of money. All the other ones are like indies, just indies. So those are the two top companies in Mexico. Like, nobody can compete with them. I didn't work at CMLL, so I don't know how big the crowds can be. I know Sarah Stock works there currently, and from what I can tell by like her Facebook profile, the crowds are huge, which was like the crowds at AAA. And those fans are loyal. I mean, we can go to the smaller cities where I didn't think anybody lived there, and there would be thousands in the seats. Japan's going to have their top companies forever and always. Noah's always going to be huge over there. Ring of Honor, I don't know. I haven't followed them. So I have, you know, I have no clue. So, I mean, Ring of Honor has been around for a long time. I worked there when Gabe Sapolsky was booking things. It was great then. There was always thousands of people, you know, thousands of people in the seat. But I don't know anymore because I haven't worked there in so long. I haven't worked there since Gabe Sapolsky. So the Shine shows are doing great. I mean, there's always a few hundred people in there. I mean, it doesn't fit many people, but it usually fits a few hundred people, but nothing more. I'm pretty sure it's going to be packed tomorrow. I have a feeling it's going to be packed tomorrow. I've already received tweets saying that there's fly-ins for tomorrow, so that's pretty cool. I hear Shimmerelli's is great, so I hope that it keeps going up, but I know that some of the new guys and the new girls need to work harder and train harder than they actually do. There are some girls or some guys out there, though, that are really going to make a name for themselves one day because they do the work. They do put in the work, but a lot of the people that I've seen come in lately, they just don't do the work like they used to. They're not workhorses.
Finally, as we wrap up here, go ahead and plug. I know you're on social media, Twitter, Facebook, any websites, anything you would like to plug as well.
Yep, on Twitter, I'm Rain_Rain, and Facebook, I'm Rain Shine Champion, because that's what I am. I'm a champion, if you didn't know. My personal website is bonrocks.com or bonrocksfitness.com, so B-O-N-R-O-X-X, so like Bon and rocksfitness.com. And we also have a Twitter and everything else led to that from the website that you can find all the links from.
Well, great. We wish you, I don't think you need any luck, but we wish you luck anyways, Friday night against Amazing Kong, Shine 15 on Internet Pay-Per-View. Definitely check that out, shinewrestling.com for more information. And we do appreciate your time. We've been trying to hook up with you for a while, and I'm glad we got this opportunity. I wish it was under a little better circumstances before you retire, but I'm glad that I had a chance to talk to you and catch up with you, and we wish you nothing but the best. Outside
Thank
of wrestling.
Thank you. Appreciate that.